statement on either side that I am certain of. So, I just you know, I'm a babe in that field, even if I felt that there was possibly a job. But in the one field, I tried to carve out myself. The reason I came to Columbia, I bought the two of them, dovetail from here. If I could leave this university and expand it, focally for those things, not to be content in several schools of really standing for the advancing of frontiers of knowledge or a convention of scholars and some of the other narrower definitions of university, but to stand for that, be it all its teaching to be based on the theory that free men need to adopt and realize as certain principles and realize certain facts. And then that would be my make that vote. Stand as a leader in the country in universities in that state. Then I thought I had done my duty to the vote. Now in trying to do that, beyond it, I don't say I should be free of criticism than the other men, but they are trying to put me into the one team that I think destroys me. You see, and that is a part of the fear. And I'm distressed, therefore, that I recognize that it's not complete of what I'm trying to do, at least, nothing that things aren't going the way I thought it should have done. Now, it is perfectly true that I could make it, even though it that I made in 1947-48, but I had to rather not even believe that having limited myself completely that for both parties that part was cut. And if you remember, it's only the last few weeks that things went about the entire month. It was on about September 24th. Something happened out here across the moon. And it blazed up again and hasn't died yet. Well, this is 3 months. And I'm getting frankly weary of the whole thing. Because I believe that what's happening is defeating the one thing I'm trying to do. Everything I say now is made a possible thing. A shot at the president, or cutting someone's throat, or a reactionary. Not like this moment, I'm considered very great reactionary. But only 2 years ago, I was considered such a dangerous writing coach to talk to one another. No, but, in other words, we principle in this duo.
Practices that have developed under that is creating a very fundamental difference where it may not be possible for you to do the kind of thing that you may realize. I think
well, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago.
Whether you can do it now or not, I don't know.
You see, I'm going on a theory that may be wrong, that there it was, that we haven't really lost respect for these great fundamentals, that we have merely forgotten them, and we did not see the danger to them through a certain surface practices, methods we were adopting, and was exactly we're going to lead and get so deeply with it that we didn't destroy our basic principle. Now, that was a theory of which I was going, and possibly you were right, that people now have risen up, and under the thesis, I directly challenge everything that we have tried to build up under what you might call a religious concept. Because I even, in my own reading on this line, said a number of times that I believe that democracy, or political liberty as we practice, is merely the political expression of a religion. That's why it is. Now, if we come to that fundamental clash, which is basically on the moral, or you might say theological basis, and merely carrying my moment, the basic concept of energy automatically in the political field, maybe I have been doing it too long in my judgment on my approach. If so, I must say it doesn't leave me much of a place in which to stand for this view. All my motivations for this thing is a certain, subconscious feeling of obligation to a lot of men that did in the war. I actually did, and they did very loyally. And I used to give them as reasons for doing the things they were doing. And talking to battalions and platoons and divisions, and even I remember once addressing a whole corps once. I used to give them as basic reasons the thing we were talking about today. Now, if the world has changed so much that those things no longer apply, the things that we thought were immutable principles were, after all, nothing but sort of a procedure and practice that got us by for that particular era of civilization. Well, then I'm just active and really pursuing a limited need of development, not limited. Well, I'm telling you about it. dealt with in my opinion. I'm quite certain I can't be accused, except in something which I honestly believe I'm doing the right thing for my own. And I never yet, no one has yet convinced me that I had a position in the, you might call it partisan political world on any level. Not yet. Now, as I say, I think I'm too wise or too smart to say that any opinion or conviction of mine is irrevocable for us, unless it's something that involves what we've been calling the fundamental. I felt what I wrote and said in 1947 or 48 about it, I have not been going out yet. I will be delighted to talk to you.
I have quite a fair share.
Whenever I make up my mind to do something, I must tell someone else right away, because I've got a peculiar mind. Having become a fait accompli, I automatically forget it. I do it purposely. Because what's the use of remembering things that you have done and you don't have to do a worry about the future? So the second that I said, well, right out there's $500, I wanted to tell someone that can give you the $500 check when you need it. Well, I'm glad you did. The isms aren't that, that having written a book, that was that big, and that was going, and I should have known, going to be, publicized or promoted like that, that I should have taken much more time to record my observations about people, about events, about the psychological reaction of soldiers, and so on and so on. The biggest criticism I've got, that there's not enough of that kind of thing. As a matter of fact, the real argument has been, what did you think at such and such time? Why did you think so? And so, well, I said, after all, the one reason that finally led me to publish that book, see, I'd refused for four solid years to touch it, but I found things coming out that were completely twisted stories of events, that I remembered this, that in reading, occasionally Douglas Freeman will do it, not often, but in reading of all read, finally Ropes will get in dock dealing with the Battle of Waterloo, for example. He will say, such and such a thing possibly happened, so on. Now, the people who could have told the truth never told it. Therefore, you don't know whether Ropes is right. And in many instances, temporary books in defaulting any other kind of source and saying this book was never, no one ever said anything about it. So I really wrote the thing to give a narrative of events as I saw them and as honestly and truthfully as I knew how. And that's the reason I got Art to go hunt up every record he possibly could, and he could find an error, put it down. So far as I'm concerned, I must tell you that a $500 investment in trying to get historical truth before the American public is, I think, as cheap a thing as I can do.
Just like in religion, she said that history is all the time getting twisted.
That's right.
You need a good magazine backed by the right kind of people who keep this history.
And you know, if